The New Brunswick Museum is calling on citizen scientists to participate in a new project to identify and document the various types of mushrooms that can be found in Atlantic Canada. Although there may be twice as many species of mushrooms as plants in the region, far less is known about them, so a new citizen science project has been initiated to gather the data. Alfredo Husto, curator of botany and mycology at the New Brunswick Museum in St. John, spoke with local 107.3 FM about the project and how people can get involved. Explaining the challenges involved in definitively identifying mushroom species, he also spoke about the inconspicuous nature of fungi and their considerable importance to the ecosystem.
What we're trying to get with this project is a complete catalogue of all the mushroom species that we have in Atlantic Canada. And we still have a long way to go to record all the species. When you think of mushrooms, you can think, oh, maybe we know as much about mushrooms as we do about plants or animals, but that's not the case. So the object of the project is to try to get people involved, people who are interested in nature, in biodiversity, to collect the mushrooms, photograph them, and preserve them for science. And if they send those collections to the museum, we're going to take a little piece of that mushroom collection that you made, and all those fragments are going to go to Mycota Labs, which is a non-for-profit organization in the States. And what they're going to do is going to generate a little piece of DNA that is going to help us to tell what particular species of mushroom we're looking at. The collection itself is going to stay here at the New Brunswick Museum, and it's going to become part of the herbarium. So you are contributing to the collection that belongs to all New Brunswickers. And it's going to help us document all the species of mushroom that we have in New Brunswick in particular, but more generally in Atlantic Canada.
Who are you looking for, basically, to help you? And what would be expected of people?
The basic process is relatively simple. If you're somebody who, for example, forages for mushrooms, or even if you just are regularly out in nature, just doing hiking, what we would ask you to do is take some photographs of the mushrooms as you find them in their natural habitat, then collect the mushroom. When you get home, you will dehydrate them. And the best way to do that is just get a food dehydrator. It's very easy to participate. And if you just go to mycomapac.org, that's mycomapac.org, it will have all the very specific instructions for each one of the steps. I see this project as having two phases. Like, the first phase is just to get to the point that we have the same basic baseline data for mushrooms as we do for plants and animals. And to get to that point, I would say, is probably still going to be maybe 5-10 years of active collecting, a lot of samples being processed, until we get that very basic baseline data. We have really common species, but we're also going to have less frequent species that is going to take us years to find out where they are, to know if they are already described species, that we need to describe them as new species for science. And even the collections are going to give us that baseline data, but there is a lot of additional work that you need to do to figure out what species you're looking at. Even with all the data, with the photographs, the collections, the DNA, it takes some time to process that data and convert the data into an actual catalog of species.
Going into the project, obviously, therefore, there's a lot to find out. What do you already know about the number of diversity of species that exist in Atlantic Canada? I mean, especially in comparison to what you know about plants.
Based on what we know already and based on what we know in areas that are close to us, we know for plants already now in New Brunswick, we have about 1,500, maybe 1,600 species of plants. For mushrooms, the baseline number that we estimate right now is at least 3,000. So that's at least double the number of mushrooms that we have of plants. So that gives you an idea of how that disparity of what we know. We have maybe around 500 species, 600 that we really, really can say are present in Atlantic Canada. So we still have a long way to go. So I would say at least probably 3,000 species of mushrooms. And again, this is just fungi that actually produce mushrooms. If we would catalog all the fungi that we don't see, it would be thousands and thousands more.
And I suppose that does sort of slightly touch on the question of why so much more is known about, I suppose, the plant species in the area as compared to the mushroom species.
Yeah, the basic answer is actually very simple. Like plants and big animals like birds or mammals, they're always there. We can trace them pretty easily. We see the plants growing. Mushrooms are there for a very short period of time. And mushrooms themselves are just the fruits of the organism. So now think for a moment that you have to study all the plants in the world, just looking at their fruits. You never see the plant. You have no idea how the leaves look like. If you're looking at a tree, a shrub, you have no idea. You just see the fruits. That's what mycologists have been doing for decades, for centuries, just studying a little part of the organism, and for that little part that we see for a very short period of time, trying to infer a lot of things about their biology and about the diversity and everything else. So now that we have techniques like DNA data, that is really allowing us to get to know more and more about mushrooms.
How would you hope that your findings would help kind of like in terms of understanding of the ecosystem, the diversity of the region?
One of the things, as I was mentioning before, one of the objectives of the project is just to get baseline data of what we have. That's really important, for example, in the context of climate change. One of the things that we're going to see as the climate worldwide changes is changes in distributions and abundance of certain species. For plants and animals, we have baseline data of what was here 5, 10, 50 years ago. For mushrooms, we don't. So creating that baseline data right now is going to be very important, because 5, 10, 15 years into the future, we can look back and know what was there. And we can see if the species abundance is changing, if the species composition is changing. Maybe some species are completely disappearing from certain places. So that is going to be really important long term. We're also going to find out, do we have endemic species in Atlantic Canada? Probably we do. We tend to have species in northeastern North America that are only going to be here. So if something to be done about conservation of those species, action needs to be taken in those areas. Fungi and mushrooms are actually more related to us, to animals, than they are to plants, even though, yes, they kind of look like a plant because they're just there in the forest floor. They don't move. They don't. But actually, one of the main differences that sets apart fungi for plants is that plants can create their own food. Plants just sit there with some water from the soil, some nutrients, sunlight. They do photosynthesis. They're happy. They create their own food. Fungi cannot do that. Fungi are like us. They have to figure out how they're going to get their food. And that's why fungi have come up with strategies like associating with the roots of trees and giving something to the tree in exchange for nutrients that the tree is giving them. They're also the great recyclers of the ecosystem. They decay all the organic matter that accumulates in the forest floor.
Within the ecosystem as a whole, how does it play a part in it?
Well, fungi are fundamental for, at least for terrestrial ecosystems, like all the forests that we see around. It's very well established that plants would have not been able, during the evolutionary time where they move from the oceans into land, they made that step, that transition, because there were fungi there. There were fungi that were going to be helping them conquer the land. And the way forests work the way they do because there is fungi there. We don't see them. We see the trees. But without fungi, any ecosystem that you look around you wouldn't work the way it would. Also, all the carbon that is being stored in plant tissue, it will never come back to the atmosphere because there will be nobody there to decay all that plant material. So ecologically, is that duality of being super important, but at the same time, it's very obscure what they're doing because we're not seeing it like in real time as we do, for example, with plants or animals. And kind of relates also what attracted me to choose mycology as my field of study. One is the fact that mushrooms are so different from everything else, and the fact that we know so little about them. With fungi, it's such an endless discovery. Like every day you're going to be discovering new things about a mushroom that you didn't know before. Once you start, there's no way back. You get so fascinated by them that there is absolutely no way back from starting your way with mycology. Anybody who has an interest in nature, anybody who's interested in having, you know, something to do, something to learn about, I think mushrooms is a field that is very interesting. It doesn't take a lot, and I think you can contribute something that is really meaningful. So again, you can just go to mycomapac.org, where it details all the different steps that you need to take to participate in the project. And yeah, that's get out there and collect mushrooms.
More information about the project can be found at mycomapac.org. This is Ionico for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.